Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Hi, folks. You want to save some money using promo code THELASTDROP? Of course you do. So head over to manscaped.com. Manscaped Performance Package is the best men's hygiene bundle you could ever receive. First off, you get the Weed Whacker, which is the electric nose and ear hair trimmer. I absolutely love this thing and have been using it regularly since I received the 4.0 Performance Package. But that's not all. You also get a pair of underwear that are just oh so comfortable, and I would know because I'm wearing them as we speak. You also receive the ball deodorant, which protects your family jewels from smelling like holiday drools. You also get the ball toner, which is a quick pick-me-up for whenever you want to introduce some style to your balls, and it's good for you when you're on the road. And last but not least, you receive the Lawnmower 4.0. This beauty is the personification of keeping your balls trimmed to perfection. It's cordless, it's waterproof, it comes with a 4000K LED spotlight to make sure you don't miss an inch of hair on those balls. This bad boy has specifically engineered ceramic blades to help cut through thick hair while reducing pulling, nicks, or cuts. Trust me on this, your balls will thank you. And that's not all. When you go to checkout, you can use promo code THELASTDROP, THELASTDROP, to receive 20% off. That's The Last Drop, THELASTDROP, at manscaped.com. As we always say, don't stop, keep pouring. Well, we're now also saying, don't stop, keep shaving, because your balls will thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the whole wide world, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
So last time we recorded this, Cody, the game didn't start yet. But how about them Cowboys, Cody? How about them?
The gift that keeps on giving.
I had a good Sunday last week, Cody. We recorded a nice long episode that was pretty funny about Knob Creek, realistically.
It turned into Knob Creek. That shit was such a time.
That was funny. You know what's funny? I've been seeing Knob Creek everywhere now. I was like, crap, that shit literally is on every fucking shelf. Like,
oh, man.
I saw that rye, too. It was the one bottle by itself sitting. I just stared at it.
Bro, I was at Total Wine earlier. Yeah. And I was going down the bourbon section, just perusing about.
Yeah.
And I shit you not, I don't know if I was just overlooking shit or what. The only Knob Creek bottle I saw, I guess it just stood out, was the rye for some fucking reason. That's like the only one.
You know why it stands out? It's because it's got that white label or like.
Yeah, it's the green. It's the green label.
Yeah, it's that green.
It's the only one with the green label. Every other label's like white, and then they have the red one for the 15, but you never see the 15 anywhere. Yeah.
I'm like, is that shit allocated now? Because it's not that good.
I would say, yeah. I never see the 15 anywhere.
It's like, I never see the 15 or 18 anywhere. And I'm just
it's allocated though.
Like, who the fuck is like, man, they got that Knob Creek 15. I'm sorry, Knob Creek. I like you. Talk shit about you.
It's crazy because we're not trying to talk shit about Knob Creek. It comes off that way. Seriously, we're not. Like we said, we're huge Knob Creek fans. Knob Creek's long favorite bourbons.
We slayed like her. Me and Cody went to a bar when I was in downtown Long Beach, and straight up, we both got Knob Creek. We swear to God. So, yeah, it's really good. We don't mean for it to be Knob Creek bashing or whatever shit. Someone sent me a photo of Knob Creek, one of the store picks, whatever, and it's just like, should I get it? And I was just, he was like, I heard y'all talking shit. I was like, no, we praise the store picks. So we like the store picks. The other shit, not so much. The other shit tastes horrible. It is funny because that rye does stick out when you see it and shit. And you just stare at it, and don't the music just kicks in? Hello, darkness, my old friend. I won't be drinking you again.
That's exactly. I saw that. I just had this dark cloud just come over me when I saw that bottle. I was like, damn.
He's looking like Ben Affleck after the Batman photos when they first came out.
It's funny because Knob Creek Rye is not a good whiskey at all. But it's not the worst one ever. So it's just like, no. Damn. Yeah, so this is looking at it. It's like, It's just like, why do you still produce this, man? Like, y'all are good with just straight up non-creek, man. Just,
who buys it?
Like, who the fuck buys? Like I said, I only see that shit at bars and they mix it in something, maybe. That's about it. I don't see nobody walking out in any store with a Knob Creek rye.
No.
Not a soul.
No.
Not a soul.
You can do so much better.
Everybody I asked about, every review I've seen, nobody likes the shit. likes Knob Creek rye.
And I would even dare say Total Wine to go to your, they have a much better selection of ryes than they do bourbon.
Yeah.
There's a shit ton of good ryes on there, whatever people. That Total Wine rye selection is pretty underrated. I mean, that bourbon section is fucking, I ain't gonna lie, it's kind of fucking trash, to be honest. I mean, you probably got some few in there. Like, you might find a Knob Creek store pick, some Angel's Envy. You'll probably find, you will find some Smoke Wagon, some Blue Run there. God, help me out here, Cody. What other bourbons? You got Four Roses there.
Yeah, Four Roses, yeah.
But besides those brands, that bourbon shit is fucking kind of bad.
The bourbon is not. Like Jefferson's Park and shit like that. But
you might find some Elijah Craig Private Barrel. So, but that's allocated shit. So
I will say though, they do still have got some Blue Run there. So they have the High Rye and they have the Reflection One still there. Right now,
Blue Run is on there, but like, I'm not even gonna count the Elijah Craig Toasted and Private. Those are allocated shit. So you go to that rye selection, though, man. Got that Angel's rye sitting up there. They got the Smoke Wagon Malted Barley Rye. They got
Pikesville is always good.
Pikesville's there. Willett is there. The 4-year old.
Yeah, Willett.
Stellum Rye is there.
I would say shit. If you're trying to like really get into rye, Total Wine just spot.
Total Wine is a spot. The rye.
I will say, jury's still out on this mezcal I'm about to try today, but they seem to have a pretty good mezcal selection too, for the most part.
Their tequila mezcal selection is better than their bourbon selection.
Actually, the bourbon selection is probably the worst spirit.
you right about today. You're right, because even their cognac selection, it ain't that big. But they got the heavy hitter cognac shit there. Like, it's like, you know, when you look in that glass case, Cody, for the cognac selection, we're talking like Hennessy Paradis, fucking Louis the 13th, all the Hennessy like variants as far as like the New Year's Chinese New Year's selection, the XO, the Cavassier XO. I mean, so. Yeah, I don't drink vodka, but even that vodka shelf, that shit's an aisle long. That shit's long. That shit's like, it must be a fucking better selection than what we got. So, yeah.
Yep.
Tequila selection, way more glass cases, too, whatever. Tequila selection is hot, man. They got so many fucking brands, and it's on two aisles. It's on fucking two aisles, Cody. One I go to. It's on one side and the other side or whatever. The bourbon section is like four rows, maybe. And it's usually shit because it's covered in like Jack Daniels regular shit or whatever, something like that. So, yeah, damn, Cody might be right. I think the fucking bourbon section.
I think we just, because I'm thinking back on it and what we've been saying this whole conversation, I'm like, I think the bourbon section kind of sucks. It's like the worst, but it ain't, compared to all the other shit, it's just, it's not up to snuff.
Let's just say
it's still better than the fucking Bevmo's, of course.
Oh, yeah, easily. Bevmo's like half a shelf.
Oh, shit, Ralph's better than Bevmo's at this point.
But, yeah. Everybody bad. My backyard better than Ralph's. Bevmo's shit, dude. I was like, hey, they're fucking terrible. Like, I think the best thing on them shelves is Nosotros.
Yeah.
And for some reason, even that's kind of difficult to find. I don't know why. Like, I was like, well, I'm looking around. I was at a Bevmo because we're the place where I get my car worked on. There's a Bevmo right there, and I just like went in there, and I just looked, and I just said, "God damn, everything in here is like half a shelf." And then when you look in, like, I was like, "Let me just look at the tequila shit," and I wasn't even gonna buy anything. I just said, "Let me see, we're in the Sotros at. We're in the Sotros. The shit's at the bottom, like not even. It's like blending in with every goddamn thing. It doesn't stand out at all. And mind you, it's probably the best goddamn tequila on there. Actually, no, it ain't the. It is the best goddamn tequila sitting on there. It's like that shit should be." First of all, they got Woodford Reserve in a glass case. Regular ass wood, not even double oak, Cody. It's just regular ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Reserve. Like, it ain't a pick. It ain't fucking double oak. It ain't shit. Even, I mean, double oak is even only $40, whatever shit. I mean, it is. That glass case is like questionable of like, what would you. It's almost like going to your dad's house And he's trying to show you some trinkets that you didn't have. And he's just like, yeah, dad, I've seen that before. Yeah, it's just J&B scotch, dude. It ain't that special. He's like, oh, but let me show you this. He's like, hey, yeah, dad, that's just Buffalo Trace. Yeah, everybody got that, dad. but yeah, Venmo's shit. I am kind of somewhat excited about Mescal, although I had to use a knife to get mine open because I told you about that whack shit.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as I pulled the little piece off where you're supposed to yank it out, that motherfucker just crumbled. I just went, oh. I was like, well, that's fucking terrible. And I guess you can put the cork back on. So I was just like, oh, okay, because I took it off. And I was like, I guess you can put it back on then. So, man, you know what? You're right about that. I just looked at my iPad over here. I was looking. Mm-hmm. I had a total wine. Their tequila selection is much better. It's beautiful. They got the little ceramic design, bottle designs too. But you know what total wine isn't better than? Our little spot. Tequila Ranch Market in old Paramount, California. Can't express that enough. Paramount, California. Somerset Boulevard.
Paramount. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come one of my favorite stores, man. Gotta say. Come one of my favorite stores. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Every month is a new, and me and Cody, we upset with each other. We was texting each other last night. We missed probably the biggest one of the year.
Yeah. I saw the story too. I was like, damn, that looked like, yep.
Fuck, man. Yeah, I was watching.
We're going to be the next one, though. Yeah. We're the next one. Fuck that. Yeah, we're going to be at the next one.
They had the Cabal there. Me and Cody haven't reviewed that on here. But Ricky told me and Cody about this when we was there for the, what's that, the grand opening? Yeah, the grand opening. And Ricky was like, man, yo, you two, if you're trying to, that Cabal right there is the bomb. And he was telling me about the new one that was getting ready. He showed me photos of it. Well, they were pouring that for like pours yesterday. I was like, God damn. I said, Cody, we really fucked up. Like, shit. Because if that bottle was like over $100 something and we could have tasted it for free, I was so fucking pissed. Tequila Yosa was there. She does a lot of reviews for them over there. They had Cody's little, I don't know if it's his favorite brand, but it is his go-to tequila brand, San Matias. Yeah, Matias. They mm-hmm. were there. They were handing out merch and shit like that. I mean, shit. I felt like disgusted with myself, Cody. I gotta tell you, I felt really disgusted. I was like, oh, how dare we not be here for this Halloween Cody edition birthday extravaganza?
We gonna be the next one, dude. We ain't passing that shit up no more. We can't.
Yeah,
it's too much greatness. Yeah.
This one, I would say, probably had the best of the best pours, right?
It looked like it. Yeah.
It showed, we
fucked up. Yeah.
We
fucked up.
We didn't taste any of those, but Cody had the sand. We both had the sand. Mm-hmm. But I was really excited to try that Cabal and some other of those brands there.
Yeah, man. You talking about Cabal, bro. Like, I don't know much about Cabal, but you were saying that shit is fucking fire. Like, the bee's knees, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you can get like most of the bottles between like $40 to $80. That's why I love
it. Love it.
Yeah, I love tequila price ranges, man. They haven't. I was talking to a buddy the other day, and he was talking about, oh, Costco got the Midnight Winter Drams for, was it Costco? No, it was Total Wine. Sorry, for $150. Mm-hmm. And I just went like, is every goddamn whiskey $150 or $250? Where is the fucking $99 shit at right now?
Like, that's what I was saying, man. Blue Runs is still.
Yeah. Like, where is the goddamn $100 bill fucking? And then you go to tequila, and like, granted, there is a lot of high-end tequila and stuff like that, but when you get a new into it, for you, man, you see so many $40, $80 bottles, whatever, you go like, ooh, especially with like Cabal and stuff. Cabal be at Costco too. So, and as if you know, if you're in California to buy liquor, you do not need a Costco membership to buy liquor out of Costco. So, because we have California laws in place that prevent that. So, but yeah, man, we missed out in Tequila Ranch, man. That store is legendary as far as me getting my shit. It's where I buy my tequila, my mezcal at now. They always, every time they have an event, 10-20% off, always good stuff. Yep,
always.
Fuck, every last drop of tequila I had, I got from that place. They introduced us to Nosotros, which is one of the best, Yayo tequila. I'm wearing one of the hats right now that I got from there, Don Vicente, which is like a sister to G4 tequila, which is probably my next buy, actually, when we next time we go there. I do want to start dabbing into that G4 stuff because I hear incredible shit about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
G4, Cabal, and El Tesoro. Oh, yeah. That's the one. That's the one.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to get El Tesoro. Yeah.
Yes.
El Tesoro.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Man, yeah. El Tesoro. Yeah.
I've yet to try anything from that brand, but yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah. I think next year, man, we probably got to do like a little, something like a little, yeah, Tesoro or like G4 kind of thing, or maybe both.
Yeah.
Both
the
same month, maybe.
Yeah. We it's every week now. We can do that shit, month to month now.
that's true.
Theme of the month now.
The themes now, so that's true.
Gotta keep us from having like one of us get Blanco, the other get Reposado or something like that.
Yeah,
or whatever. Because them El Tesoros, Ricky be grabbing those at Costco like crazy. He'll buy like four bottles of the shit and stuff like that. And I go by Ricky. That's probably one of the best tequila reviewers out there as far as taste.
Oh, easily. Oh yeah.
Ricky knows his shit. I have not bought anything that Ricky has suggested that tastes like bullshit. So.
Mm-hmm.
He told me to get the Don Julio grandson, Lalo, whatever shit. Shit was fire. He was the one that hooked PBO game on the Sotros. He PBO game with Cabal. So I haven't tried that yet, but I'm going to try that shit. I mean, so Ricky, he knows his shit. Hey, Ricky, make sure you don't forget about us when we want to do that El Tesoro Booker's 30 thing. I still want to try that. Yeah, I still want to try that shit. That shit's like $500 or something like that.
Yeah.
I might put money aside and buy that bottle.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to buy like a bottle, you're going to save up for it. You're going to buy like, you know, like a unicorn type.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, because that bottle.
Why not?
That is a beautiful ass case and bottle. Mm-hmm. Like, it is gorgeous. That's a motherfucker lives in Vegas. Ricky showed us this photo of this dude that just got like a trunk full of the motherfuckers. So this is like... Ricky even said he ain't shit compared to this dude, but he said that dude doesn't really drink that much. He kind of like has a museum and shit or whatever. I was just like, all the more reason to visit this motherfucker then. So, I would be gladly to drink his shit for him. Anyway, though, Cody, we were talking about earlier about those Cowboys getting smashed on my Niners. That was so good. That was such a beautiful.
Yeah. My Ravens, they went out in London today.
That's
shout
right,
out to the
yeah.
Ravens. Ravens. Shout out to the Ravens.
Ravens out there doing their thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bang. Doing their thing. So I will say it's been a pretty good start of the football season so far, at least for me.
I would say, me too, yeah. I would say. I think our team's doing pretty good at the end well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're here
the
right
Cowboys,
now.
So that's all I cared about.
Hey, yeah, that's always good.
Always constantly doing America a favor, shutting that team up, whatever. Yeah, just shutting them the fuck up. Yeah, they quiet as fuck now. Sister talking about it's disrespectful to talk about that slander. I said, do you understand what the word slander means? It's not slander if it's true.
I'm going to say, yeah, but remember, I think J. Jonah Jameson said that in the first Spider-Man or something similar to that effect.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was the Green Goblin busted.
Right.
And that's when J. Jonah revealed himself to be a true one. That's what the kids say. He's a true one. He didn't snitch on his report. He took that choke like a man, Cody.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know who he is. His stuff comes from the mail. I was like, damn, that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, no, he's cool, man. He's a tough man. He's a hard ass. He got a heart of gold. He got a heart right there.
That motherfucking Green Goblin was like, liar. That was a terrible lie, though. He's just like, oh, his stuff comes in the mail.
I mean, the man's getting choked. He had to choke when he's doing a Power Ranger costume.
I guess so.
I'll probably react the same goddamn way.
Mind you, remember when he got released, he was just like, Spider-Man, I knew it. You two are in cahoots. Yeah. It's just like, God damn, this man, you want to talk about fucking blind to the eye, whatever shit. This motherfucker. Whatever fits his story or whatever shit. I mean, they literally should make J. Jonah president in that universe.
That should be on an episode of Marvel's What If. JJ came president.
I mean, his hatred for that man, Spider-Man.
Oh, shit.
Speaking of Spider-Man, that, that game coming out, Cody. That,
oh, yeah. Woo, this shit, bro. I'm telling you, next week. Next week, I'm sorry, Starfield. Get me to the side. I love you, but Spider-Man coming through.
Yeah, I got to put some shit to the side. Now, hey, so I want to put an announcement out there. We won't be here next week because
we're going to be sorry.
Occupied. Yeah. Heavily occupied because I hear
it's brother. First
and I got to get deep into that game next Saturday. What's next Saturday? I need my schedule cleared. I can't do shit.
I need that Friday night. I need all that. Yep. Spider-Man.
I need that Friday night to download it because it's probably going to take all goddamn day. It's probably going to take all
day. Oh, man. I'm hyped, brother. I am hyped.
This 20th is taking too long for me.
I would
pay $20 more right now just get it today.
Hey, man, honestly, dude, it's been a great year for video games this year. We had a lot of this year. I haven't even caught up with everything yet. Like, I haven't played Dead Space. I haven't played Resident Evil 4. I haven't played Baldur's Gate. Yeah, I haven't played none of that shit yet. So I gotta catch up. I played the Diablo 4 beta. I haven't played the
4 beta yet.
Yeah.
I'm probably in the same room. I haven't played as many games this year.
Fuck, man.
Really behind. It's but you know what? Black Friday coming up, those games go on sale. So.
True.
That's another reason why I haven't played a lot, too. I just don't feel like spending $70 on games.
That, too. Yeah, I'm much more selective about what the fuck I buy today. And I'm big on those Bethesda games. I had to get Starfield, obviously. And it's on Game Pass. I didn't spend shit. Spider-Man. Spider-Man's been my most hyped game this entire year. So I got to buy that.
Xbox exclusives help with Game Pass because they all get put there, so it's easier to play those. And then earlier in the year, we had Harry Potter, too.
Oh, shit. I didn't play that yet.
I forgot about Harry Potter. That was February. Yeah. That game is fucking dope. Shit, I love that game.
I can't keep up right now. It's between getting and working shit. It's hot. It's hot.
I was playing as a dark wizard. Yeah, I started killing kids and shit like that. So I was like, "Fuck it, I'm learning dark magic, baby." So yeah, shit.
Okay, next vault, motherfucker. Yeah,
yeah. They was in the way. Should have got the fuck out of my way. I'm flying here, goddamn it. Anyway, though, Cody, what are we sipping on over there?
Today, my friend, we have.
Oh, you muted yourself, Cody.
My bad. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I accidentally pressed my space bar. So, yeah, today I was doing my little research this past week, and I was looking for something, was going to break the bank because it is mezcal. I'm much more conscious about my mezcal purchasing these days for obvious reasons. Yeah. So I was looking for something that was going to be, priced and also hopefully flavorful.
What'd you pay on that?
So I paid all in totality. It was $35 to $34
each. Damn, that's cheap. Yeah. Shit.
Yep. Yeah, yes, sir.
I didn't even know spirits right here that low anymore. Shit.
And this comes out straight from Oaxaca, Mexico. This is Los Vecinos del Campo. This is their Espadín. It's called Artisanal.
Oaxaca. That's like Kentucky of mezcal.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is their Espadín coming in at 45% alcohol right here. Mm-hmm. Just read a little bit on the back right here. Double distilled and a copper still. Gotta love that. So I love the label on here. It looks like a high-end bottle. It only costs $34, but presentation point so far. Yeah. Gotta love that. It looks beautiful.
That bottom label.
Right? Right? Yeah, looks gorgeous, right?
It has those details on there or whatever.
Yeah, so I'm pop this open right now.
Can't tell if that's the lighting or the camera, but it looks kind of yellowish, like a nail.
No, that's just the lighting. That's just the back label.
Okay. I was like, damn, that looks like powder on it.
No, yeah, it's just all right. Get this plastic off right here.
$30. I didn't even know spirits cost that goddamn long. $30. God damn.
Man. Yeah, so. Hey, all goes well. This might be a banger of a purchase.
I mean, that's like a fucking 3.5 if it's only $30.
Or half the battle's already won right there.
Yeah, like presentation and price. That's shit. Mm-hmm. That's last drop prices to me. Shit.
Yes, sir. All right.
It would be nice to finally have a fucking $30 everyday pour. Like, that's all I ask for. I guess I have.
I got to tell you, just sniffing from the bottle, it already smells amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just sniffing right there. So,
I guess I already have a $30 everyday pour with the Sotros. That's only $33. Yeah. Yeah, that shit's good. I was drinking that yesterday playing a game. So,
all right. I got that poured right there.
Oh, look at them cowboy tears.
That is smelling right, my friend. You get that burst of smoke. It's like a real... it's like a mesquite wood. Oh my dude, that smells amazing. It's like a mesquite wood. In the background, it's like a cherry note almost.
Oh, speaking of my love language.
Dude, this smells amazing.
Cherry's a fucking bomb. Love it.
Cherry. Wow. It's something like a slight sweet note in the background too. Like a like a papaya thing kind of going on too. Almost like a bubble gum kind of thing. Which is very interesting. I'm all for it.
Probably got that chewy,
a lot going in here.
That chewy tobacco list in
there. Yeah.
That's what we're going to call clear covers spirits now. People are going to call them cowboy
fans. Yeah, okay. Dude, you know, it's going to sound weird, but it's almost like a rhubarb kind of high thing going on, too. It sounds weird as fuck from a skull, but dude, there's a lot going on. There's like a bit of brininess, too. Almost like a sea kind of thing going, like a seaweed, seawater. It sounds weird, but it works. This smells fucking amazing.
Well, finally, something brought Cody back to the mezcal world.
This is a winner so far for me, man.
Damn, I've been waiting for this day.
This nose is a bona fide last drop.
He's been taking L's for so long now with mezcal. It's about that damn time he took some dubs on here. Whatever.
I need a win, bro, because you got one earlier this month, and I need a fucking win.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You got to get this dub, dude. You got to
All right, so I'm excited, man. I'm about to go out for the palate.
Let's sip this bad boy. Let's see, because you need this dub more than anything.
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go.
We're back.
He's like Mace. He's like Mace. Guess who's back? Back in your neighborhood.
Okay. So stuff like this, man, is what made me a mezcal fan at first. Because this is bringing me back to the quality stuff that actually has flavor and the aroma with it is well priced, man. This is actually matching the aroma of beef and beef. Get a ton of that smoky mesquite wood.
What's the name of that again?
This is fucking great, man. Los Vecinos del Campo. This is their Espanin. This is some really good stuff, dude. Oh, man. I'm getting like a bit of a tropical kind of candy thing going on. A little bit of mango. We can get in here.
They got a few bottles, too. They got like one.
Ooh, I'm getting like a. Like almost like a brown or caramel sugar thing going on too.
So they got three bottles, Cody, at Total Wine pickup. And one of them is the one you have. One next one's $54.99, and then the other one is $99.99. Now, if that's a good, if the low value one that you have is really that good, I would say that with the highest being $100, that is a great fucking price point to move forward into this.
Brother, I tell you, this is why I love, and this is why I love buying things based on flavor and not the prices. As people, that's the biggest misconception to this day. You spend more, it's gonna no fuck that. This is a $34 bottle. It's some change with tax. This tastes fucking amazing. Like this is up there with like a Del Mage. I'm talking like the higher end Del Mage type stuff. The Bala's and fucking and the what is the name of that? Chupa? I forgot the starting with the C. But anyway. This is fucking amazing.
You know what brand that one you're sipping on is part of, right? It's Sazerac. Sazerac produced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Sazerac Rye, people. I just looked it up right now. It's Sazerac Rye.
No shit.
That. They only produced that one, though, not the other two that are
really
kind of weird. But yeah, Sazerac.
Dude, this is, it's so rich. It is so warm and biting. Like, and then the finish keeps going, and oh my god, it's like this marmalade of just flavor that just stays on your tongue, and it is dude, I'm beside myself right now.
That's why I'll never talk shit about Sazerac. I don't really care for the bottle itself, but
they produce some great shit
out of that.
They really do, so, man, because holy fuck, this is Yeah, man. People, this is hitting like every note for me. This is hitting all the notes. Yep, that's crazy. Sazerac, there it is.
Wow,
insane. Wow. This is giving me everything, man. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about this other than
this bottle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one right there.
Yeah,
that's the one right there.
Wow.
This is, yeah. Like I said, it's giving me everything you want in a quintessential Mezcal. And given the price point as well, and the label, the presentation, this is hitting every single note on the checklist, especially for us, for our needs, our reviewing purposes. It's getting everything, price, label, aroma, flavor, finish. This bottle right here, this is going to last off of me, my friend. Los Vecinos, Espanin, thank you for bringing Mezcal back. I'm a happy camper. Yeah, this is already, this is better than last year. Thank God.
Damn.
And shit, man. We were in despair last year. And then to come from here, progression, folks. Progression. Don't give up on your hopes, folks.
Yeah, don't give up on your dreams.
This is what this bottle proves, right? Don't give up on your dreams.
Last year said, fuck your dreams. Yeah, fuck your dreams. This year is don't give up on your dreams.
Oh, man.
Are you going to buy the one for $54 now?
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to get the whole line. So this is going to be like the next Del Mage for me. I'm just going to get the whole fucking line.
I was reading the one for $54. The description on there, it says Ensemble number one is a mixture of some of the finest locally grown and hand harvested agave, creating smoky, sweet, and sultry flavors. That sounds so delicious. Smooth enough to be taken alone or add a delicious kick to your favorite mixed cocktail.
Sounds good. This is the entry level shit too. This is insane. This is fantastic. This is some good shit. Buy this, people. $34. You got no excuse. Buy this shit, please.
I love the one on the high end one, the $99 one. I love that red on there.
That's a beautiful label. Yeah.
That's a beautiful design right there. Where's my $100 bottles at? If that's the high end one of yours, I'd buy that all day, every day. I'm tired of $50.
This, I'm very happy, man. I'm very happy. This is Los Vecinos. You got a fan. Just earn the fan. Los Vecinos.
I'm curious as to why Sazerac produces that one and not the other two. The other ones are produced by Los Vecinos themselves.
Yeah. I wonder if it's, I'm going to say, is it like a distribution thing?
Maybe.
I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. But why weren't they only, but why weren't their name being the other ones too? Because it's not distribution.
Yeah, but it looked like, I was Googling it and there, it looked like Sazerac produces 10 top Mezcal companies actually. And that was what happened to be one of them. I guess maybe Sazerac was just putting their hand out there in the, I was going to say tequila world, but Mezcal world too as well. Sazerac is such a big brand in the whole industry right now. I mean, it is huge as shit. I mean, they could give a fuck less if you buy any of their bottles. Which by the way, is not that bad of a bottle. They make great rye cocktails or whatever. So, I mean, but,
It sounds like rye. Yeah, it's fine. Like, yeah, it's just like a straight up, it's fine. It gets the job done. Nothing special, but it gets the job done. Special. You know,
$20.
Great mixer, cocktail mixer.
They produce so many great different brands over there. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Trace family too, as well. Obviously we just saw in tequila and mezcal and stuff. So yeah, but Cody got his first last drop in the mezcal world now. God damn. Man.
Happy. Very happy, man.
Damn.
This shit is delicious. This is great. It's a really good Mezcal, man. They're not going to park with this one. Los Vecinos, man. Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. I'm with it.
He's like, I fucks with Sagas right now.
You're goddamn
him.
Right.
He's going to be at the star with his store with his glasses on. Excuse me, fine gentlemen. Do you happen to know if Sazerac helped produce this fine, delicious, eloquent bottle here? Yes.
If it's not produced by Sazerac, therefore I will not fuck with it.
Yes. I do not fuck with it. No. I don't get jiggy with this shit. No.
All of a sudden I turned into an African. I don't know why.
He turns into Michael Blackson for next Friday and shit all of a sudden. Yeah. What the fuck is this shit? What the fuck is this shit? This is not Sazerac. The store owner lies to him and shit. He takes the bottle back to the store. Whatever. What the fuck is this shit? This is not Sazerac right here at all. This is not goddamn Sazerac. I can't get jiggy with this shit. I can't even enjoy this. No.
There's no power in this.
Yeah.
I want the Sazerac.
I want my motherfucking money back and I don't have no receipt. You kiss my ass, okay? Yeah, just give my money back. He goes full on African.
That's a deep cut, people.
Yeah, it's super deep cut. Yeah, super. Oh, man. Oh, I need to knock out my number 8 hip-hop artist here as well, too. I'll just go ahead and just throw it out there real quick, whatever.
Yeah.
This dude, man, I mean, he's one of the realest artists of all time. I mean, emotion is everything, is high. I saw him in concert, and man, this dude is just like, I mean, he puts his like soul into his music or whatever and shit. And it is rough as fuck too. This probably might be one of the roughest artists on this list of both mine and Cody's or whatever. Like as far as like his lyrics and lines, I mean, probably even more so than Ice Cube when I had him on I think Ice Cube was more, he was more in your face, but I would say this dude's lyrics are like more kind of grittier in a way, whatever. Like, he'll tell you to go fuck yourself in his songs or whatever and shit. And it's
love it.
It's pretty crazy. But this artist, man, and I didn't even debate to have him on there. I just thought that like, he should automatically just be on there. Cause he's got so many great albums. Those first 5 albums were just like so fucking, oh shit, Christian McCaffrey has an oblique injury and is questionable to return against Brown. Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah, that's just fucking lovely.
That is.
Yeah, it's just great.
That dude is just like breaking all kinds of records and he just gets injured against the fucking Browns. That's disappointing. But my artist is, I guess we already know who this is.
Love it. Love the choice. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
The most amped up motherfucker of all time. Like, you hear that? Them tracks of DMX, Cody, them singles back then, man, you get hyped. You be like, damn, shit.
Man, I gotta tell you, I don't think there was ever, I think DMX starts like hyping motherfuckers up and bringing the energy. You'd be hard pressed to find a rapper better than DMX at that aspect.
Dude, like I said, he is gritty and raw. And it's not even like his lyrics are like, you know, like that deep or anything like that. Whatever.
No.
So, but like,
it's just his delivery, man.
His delivery, his energy.
Yeah.
The dude can hit bars. I mean, and he's also one of the realest motherfuckers in the game, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you watch his interviews, Cody, and funny enough, Art of Lunatic, he posted something recently of interviewers kept asking him, well, how does DMX feel about Drake? And he was just like, fuck Drake. He sucks. It's like, he don't give a fuck, dude. Like, he just don't hold any punchlines. And, like, interviewers will keep fucking with him. And they'd be like, who you think is your favorite artist out this time? And he would just be joking around and be like, Drake. He's like, I just love Drake. And, you know, he's just fucking around. He's like, I love his lyrics, his whiny little voice, everything about him just like, you know, just... He was never trying to be politically correct or work with anybody or anything like that, Cody. I mean, I don't know if people remember this. Jay-Z told this story once of how DMX Jay-Z barely just told this story. It was other people that used to tell this story. I guess Jay-Z trying to now pay respects since the man is no longer with us. May he RIP. Jay-Z told this story recently on LeBron James, The Shop, I believe it's called. And he said, we was doing like a tour and it was a bunch of hip hop artists and DMX was, what do they call it? I always call it in sports, semi-co-main event, whatever, but for concerts, I can't remember how they rephrase the word, but he was up before DMX after DMX. DMX went out there and fucking killed it. He just said the crowd was chanting his name. They was going DMX. And then they were just like, yo, and it was like, and Jay-Z was like, it was supposed to be my time, but it went over hour, or not over hour, but it went over time because DMX just broke down on his knees, started crying, and then he sent a prayer out. He did a fucking prayer, and then Jay-Z said he was watching from the stage going like, what the fuck is this man doing right now? And then he went into another song, and the crowd, he said, I see grown-ass men out there crying and shit, and the crowd is like jumping up and down, and then DMX finishes this song up. He goes in the back, and he's just like, you up, Jay?
Yes.
And he was just standing there like, motherfucker, how the fuck am I supposed to follow that up?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't wish that upon anybody. Hell no.
I went to a DMX concert. I even went to Rock the Bells where he used to perform and shit.
Shit. Nice. Very nice.
Man, this dude, if you had to follow him, dude, that shit was kind of difficult. I ain't gonna lie. I love when they interviewed Nas back in the day and they were just like, yo, I think they were joking with him they was yelling out shit. He did like a street concert style in New York, whatever. And they were just asking him, yo, what, Belly 2, what's up with you and DMX or DMX? And then Nas just started laughing. He was like, well, y'all say Belly 2? He was like, DMX? He's like, he started laughing. He was just like, man, DMX, man. He's like, I love that brother. He was like, what you see is what you get with that dude. He's like, he was like, if you think he crazy on stage, that brother crazy in real life too. Like, that dude has so many fucking hit singles though. We were talking about Busta Rhymes earlier when we started this and shit, talking about how Busta Rhymes is like the king of singles. I think DMX also followed in that realm too, whatever. Every fucking hit, single that DMX came out was a fucking bona fide smash hit or whatever. And by the way, that song I just played right now, that was off DMX's third album. His third fucking album, he was still putting hits out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was the album, too, that like commercially just got played like a motherfucker. I think I was in sixth grade, too. That was the album where Party Up came out. Everybody plays that song and shit like that. They play it at NBA games. If you go to the fucking stadium and shit like that, or the arena, they play that shit there. It had What's My Name on there. And my favorite track on there is with Cisco, What These Bitches Want.
This, I love that song. I love that fucking song, man.
I used to watch that video religiously, just going... You remember that second verse on that track where he just started naming off a bunch of women's names and shit like that? I was just like, God damn.
this guy just not give a fuck. Oh, yeah, that's such a great production, too. Dude, this is such a great time capsule of the early 2000s, man. This sends me back right to that moment. Every time I hear this song.
You know what's crazy too is DMX always opens up his songs with like you'll hear his voiceover in the background. Damn. And it's always like some crazy. I love how the song starts where it just go, hey yo, a dog, I eat you. La 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 la. Cody, what's a Coco Puff beat?
Very respectful of women that DMX is.
What is a Coco Puff street bitch, Cody? What is that?
I do not know. That's very specific specific brand of bitch.
I remember watching this in 2000, Cody. I was going like, huh, there's a lot of different types of women out there.
I'm assuming it's a person in question that eats a lot of Cocoa Puffs. I don't know. That's a good joke. How does he describe that shit? He's a Cocoa Puff bitches? What is that?
What?
God, Jesus Christ. This dude was a straight fucking savage, man.
He said they start to catch feelings. I start to steal from their ass.
What's wrong with this? This dude is Asian of chaos, man.
Yes. Which is crazy because DMX was like one of those. I shouldn't even say this, too, because I'm sure it was before him. I would say in me and Cody's time frame, he was one of those rappers that turned actor that like was obviously noticeable and shit because DMX has that such a look.
Yeah, he has a presence.
He's always so calm in his movies and shit like that. I don't want to say like this because the man's dead or anything like that, or he's a list. I don't know. I don't know if the man was a good actor, great actor, whatever he may be. I saw potential though. Like
he had presence. I think we can all agree on that. He might not have been the best actor ever, but the man had presence for sure.
I think most 9 times out of 10 though, and obviously he's trying to get his feet wet into the acting role. Yeah. I think he was just casted in the wrong roles per se.
And don't get me wrong, he's much better than most of these fucking rap returns actors.
Yeah, I would say so too as well. Because there was a shit ton of shitty ones or whatever. He's just like, ugh.
Oh yeah.
And like for DMX, especially when you hear his shit, he's just like, how is this dude so ranged in? Like, you know, so like he's crazy, but he knew how to tone it down or whatever. I think the first time we saw him was in Romeo Must Die with Aaliyah, right? And Jet Li. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds, or was Belly before that?
Oh, I guess Belly. Yeah, Belly was before that. Yeah, which, by the way, that might as well just been a documentary of DMX, to be honest. I mean, that might as well. That motherfucker was crazy in that fucking movie. Like, yo. And I love it too because it really did look like Nas was playing himself and DMX was playing himself and shit.
Exactly.
I mean, it literally, I think that's the only reason why that movie was probably like, I don't know, like cult following of thinking it was good, stuff like that. And I enjoy their parts in it too because it really does look like you're looking in both their lives at that age too. I think the movie ended with Nas going to Africa. I was just like, yeah, that sounds like some shit he would do too. Anyway,
yeah. So I was like, no, that sounds exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So it just felt like he was watching literally an autobiography of the two. Oh yeah, here we go. This is probably the only time I ever liked Cisco too.
Yeah, no, he worked perfect on this song.
Right? Yeah, that was great.
He's perfect. Great for this. Yeah.
Inez and Felicia.
Man has a great memory.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. What? DMX on the ice cream parlor. I want to see that.
Ice cream parlor, yeah. No, I do want to see that. Rocky Road, motherfucker.
Yeah, extra. He's still going, Cody. That's the whole fucking verse.
Yeah, it's whole verse. I think the ones he really likes, he gets a little backstory on.
Yeah.
I think that's what that means. Yeah. DMX, you okay, sir?
Oh, I met her at an ice cream parlor.
This is a hilarious image. DMX at a fucking ice cream parlor.
Somebody animate that. I want to see that shit.
Please.
Oh, man. Dude. And then I love the Great Depression album, too. His single on there was, They Don't Know.
It was like the last, like.
Yeah, it's like the last minute. I mean, he has some, like, even though I didn't think his lyrics was that deep, his topics, though, if you listen to his lyrics, he has some real hardcore topics and shit. Like, it wasn't. That's what's so crazy about DMX and compared to rappers today and shit like that. It's like, we're not asking for, like, you know, Eric B. And Sermon or whatever, or fucking Nas or Lauryn Hill or anything like that. You don't have to be that way. That's why me and Cody was so spoiled back in hip hop back in the day because. Mm-hmm. Your voice and style was different or whatever, but the topics, you could still relate to them and stuff like that. And I remember watching that video for Who We Be, and I was just like, fuck, dude. That's like,
Yeah, this is another song. It's
That fucking background vocal
effects on this was that's such a great fucking song.
That is just
great choice, man. No, DMX, I love DMX, man. DMX,
yeah, dude. Yeah. I always thought growing up, I was like, this is the realest dude you ever gonna fucking meet or whatever. Like, I love his fifth album, The Grand Champ. And pretty much, and he was on Dave Chappelle to perform on here too. He's got this song on here called Dogs Out, and it's just random as fuck. He ends the song saying, I forgot how he said it, but then he said, I'm not Ja Rule, bitch. I was just like, wait, what? I was like, what the fuck?
You know, you really hate a motherfucker.
I mean, he was just like,
he's going on a random tangent
and people out and shit, whatever. I was just like, yo, he got this great track on here with Eve and Jadakiss, and Jadakiss wrote Eve's lines for her, and Jadakiss just fucking murdered this track on here. I mean, you want to stalk bars or whatever and shit, like, it's called We're Back or whatever, and like, let me just skip to Jadakiss. Oh, here it is. Oh, no. Jadakiss just, like, killed this shit. Go back. I thought this album was fantastic, whatever. Like, and DMX has some great features on there.
Oh yeah. Damn, every time I hear Jadakiss, bro, I'm gonna be transported to New York.
Yeah.
Boom. I'm there. Ah, hip hop. Yes.
Man, this dude is. Man, that dude. And DMX opens this track too, and he comes in raw as. I mean, just like DMX would. I mean, it is like it is aggressive. Like, it was like at the time, Rough Riders and D-Block were trying to. We're trying to like put they in emphasis on like, we don't give a fuck what year it is. And Dipset was trying to come in at that time. We was like, we still run this shit or whatever in New York. So it was like, you know, I mean, DMX, he has like, he comes in like, okay, what you telling me? Because I think a lot of people were trying to say, oh yeah, out with the old and with the new at this point in time and shit like that. This came out in like 05-ish era. It was like 05 around. Oh. That motherfucker said, yeah. I've been a fiend ever since I found out how to slaughter taste. Empty a clip of hollow tips into your daughter's face. I was like, oh,
dude, shit. Dude, you know rap is good when you start to get a little emotional when you hear that shit.
Yeah.
Every time I hear like a really good rap song, bro, I'm like, think like, damn, this is fucking, yeah.
Yeah, man. Because, this dude, DMX, man, and that's just five albums. He came out with more than that, obviously, than that. And Exodus came out after he passed away. He started working more with Swiss Beats around the 5th, 6th album, whatever, and his production just got like it added that Swiss Beats flavor to it with that. Those two just worked well together to me or whatever, because there obviously was that get it on the floor track on that 5th album.
Dude, man. Swiss Beats, and DMX, never better combo.
Yeah, oh, dude, like.
Come on, man.
And you want to talk about getting hype now. Now you really like.
And, like, oh, and this is at a time when production wise, you really couldn't fuck with Swiss Beats.
No.
At this time, you really. I think it was like him or like maybe like Timbaland and maybe like Dr. Dre, but otherwise, you can't really fuck with him. Yeah.
Swiss was that new dude coming in and shit, and you just like, damn, dude.
Exactly. Like, and he had his signature sound too.
Yeah, and for some reason.
You knew it was like a Swiss.
You wouldn't think that sound would mix well with a DMX, but like they've worked together on so many.
Oh, projects. This shit. Like, this is a fucking banger, bro.
Yeah, that beat right there, that production, man.
Yeah.
And DMX, like. And you know that it just got that DMX feel to it too. You're just like, oh yeah. I was like, Man, I missed that era of DMX, man. I remember
that shit is hype, bro.
Yeah, dude. Like you said, it got me the goosebumps. Like, I was like,
oh yeah. Every time.
I was when that album came out, it was with the concert I went to, and I remember when that beat just hit. That was what it opened up with. The crowd just fucking lost their shit, dude. It went loud as fuck, whatever. And like he comes out right off the bat, just full blown energy. He reminds me of because Lupe Fiasco does that too, whatever. But obviously different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep.
Lupe has a lot of fucking energy when he hits the stage or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
DMX is like the same way, full all in there, and it doesn't give a damn, out of breath or whatever and stuff. Like it is. He gives it his all. Like DMX, man, he's my number eight. I thought his music was just like fucking perfection for me, whatever, as far as hype. I love the topics or subjects he had. I love the gritty rawness he had and everything too. I just thought the man was perfection as far as in hip hop. So
that's great choice, brother. Amazing choice. DMX is one of my favorites as well, dude. And like I said, there will never be another DMX, dude. He is one of the most unique entities we ever had in the rap game. There will never be another DMX. One of one.
That's the great thing about this list. I don't think a lot of our...
It goes for everybody pretty much.
Yeah.
List it off, yeah.
But DMX, he stands out in a class of his own as far as that goes. All right, so let's get into my mezcal now.
Yeah. I'm excited, man. I'm looking forward to this. I'm curious. I'm on my second pour of this Los Vecinos. I obviously can tell I'm quite enjoying this.
Yes, I would say that enjoy. So yes. Mine is... the double gold winner award. I didn't know myself. The illegal mezcal.
Oh, illegal. Or yeah. Illegal.
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 Imported by Illegal Mezcal Brands, Miami, Florida. Oh. Might probably got bath salt in here or something like that. Probably. and this is the Añejo one. Sorry.
Okay. I kind of got that sense. Yeah. A little brown right there.
A little bit of brown in there.
Yeah.
It's got this.
You don't see a whole lot of brown mezcal, man.
No.
It's very rare.
That's why I was looking at yours when you first had the lighting.
Right.
Like, Okay. Oh, yeah. That color is.
Yeah.
Color is. Ooh, damn. Shit, that hit right in
the smell that already?
Yeah. I was like, damn. It wasn't even that close to my nose.
Okay.
Shit, so, yeah.
All right. Good sign.
Ooh, this got some tobacco and smokiness on it right away.
Ooh, tobacco. Yeah. All right.
But it's got like a syrup type.
Interesting.
Maple.
It's like a maple. I'm going to say what kind of syrup, like a corn syrup or a maple syrup?
There's like some... That smells like a candle, like a honeyed fruit, like a honey. What is it? Honeydew melons?
Honeydew.
Yeah. Honeydew melons. Yeah.
Okay, that's unique.
Oh yeah, like the smokiness is starting to like it turns like more into like a kind of campfire-ish smoke or whatever.
Campfire. Okay.
Yeah. All so right. I got like maple tobacco, tobacco honeydew melon,
campfire,
honeydew melon. Obviously, the agave is there. I can smell that right away. There's like a hint of sweetness in there, something that makes it like a vanilla type flavor in there.
Okay. All right. Aroma sounded good.
Yeah, aroma sounds and smells really good. Whatever.
All right.
Doesn't smell like a typical mezcal usually, other than the smokiness there.
Yeah, obviously it's not because, like I said, most mezcals are not brown or even aged like that. So
no.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of reminds me more of a scotch.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting like...
Well, I do have commonalities with the smoky factor, but that's usually where it ends as far as comparisons go with mezcal and scotch.
It's got like this earthiness to it, like some dried herbs, earthiness or whatever.
Huh.
And the honeydew melon just sticks out the most to me.
So would you say it's a pretty complex nose?
Yeah, I would say it got a lot of complexity to it. I would say the nose, the nose is actually very pleasant, very nice and easy going.
Okay.
I think anyone could probably pick a... Well, I shouldn't say anyone because I could be completely wrong on my nose, but that's what I'm getting. So it's going in for the nose. I mean, the taste now.
Yeah, please.
Oh, shit. Before I even swallow, and I had it lingering in the stomach, you could feel like a string of smoke just hit your the middle of your tongue, go all the way down to your throat and shit.
Okay, all right.
Wow, that was like a
okay. Hell of a first impression. All right. Mm.
You get that tobacco in there. Not so much of the maple. I'm still getting that honeydew on there.
Okay.
Campfire smoke on there as the back well. A little bit more lighter on the palate. I was kind of shocked by that. It kind of has like this orange peppermint oil flavored or whatever.
Mm. You say oil flavor. Is it oily going down the pipe?
It's super oily.
Okay.
It is okay. Super oily. That kind of threw me off right there, whatever.
Now, is it like oily with fault or is it like a nice kind of, complimentary kind of oily?
Both kind of. I would say on the palate, it kind of goes a little too fast, but then it like slows down midway through or whatever. And then on the finish, it kind of lingers around. So I kind of like that part. I don't like how it touches the tip of the tongue there, but it's got like this, it's very herbal. It's got a lot of herb essence to it.
Herbal. Okay. Interesting.
The finish is earthy as hell too. It's got a nice little linger there, a little bit under medium length. Very warm too. Not hot, but just warm. Got the smoke doesn't overpower anything. It's definitely there. You get a little bit more. You get a lot more of the tobacco on the back end too, as well.
Okay.
There's also some cocoa in there as well too. I'm gonna say
so. From what I'm gathering, it's not like a huge like fruit character to it.
Yeah.
Would that be correct? Okay.
There's a range of just like a little bit of everything going on here. Very complex and unique in its own way. I'm still trying to dictate how I feel about it.
Decipher it. Yeah. It looks like a pour you gotta kind of take your time with. What I'm gathering right now, it doesn't look quite like a last drop. It does look like a worthy pour though. So I'm interested to see where you fall. I kind of have an idea where you're going to fall.
Yeah, this is unique. It's not god awful, and it's not like the greatest thing ever, neither. But it's got a lot of.
This seems like a pour like you might have to revisit to get like your final kind of, or let it sit marinate for a little bit before you get your final say on it. That's what I'm gathering from it.
I love the smoke coming off on the tongue now, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's starting to like kind of. It reminds me of a campfire or whatever. So like, there's the tobacco. Sweet agave and cocoa on the finish too, by the way. And then on the palate, it's like a lot of more honey, honeydew melon. It's nice and warm all the way in, except for like on the tip of the tongue palate area or whatever. Every time I sip the tip of the tongue, it's just oily, like a peppermint oil flavor. I enjoy this. What I like about it is its uniqueness. I like that it stands out.
Right, it sounds very unique. Yeah,
it's got a lot of different things going on here. I think Cody is right when he said like this is something I'd probably be pouring when I'm playing video games or working or something like that. And then the bottle's like halfway through, and I go like, I must really like this then or whatever. But I think this definitely is a conversational piece. I think this has a lot of conversation to go. If you're drinking with your buddies and stuff like that, I think you will be sitting there trying to go like, what are you getting right there? I think the main notes you'll probably get, though, is there's honey fruit here, which I think is honeydew melon. There's campfire smokiness, and I think the tobacco on it as well, too. That cocoa is starting to stick out a little bit more on the back end now as well.
Okay.
I can kind of taste it. And there's also sweet agave. Just kind of just rolls through the whole mouth, whatever. I kind of enjoy that a lot, actually. I'm still not getting over this oiliness, though, at the beginning.
Okay, so that's not like the most off-putting thing for you.
Yeah, because you can kind of taste it in a way. It's like a flavored oil, like I said, like with the peppermint and the.
I did hear you peppermint. That's like really unique for a mezcal or any spirit. Period. A minty kind of quality.
It's like a citrus mint flavor or whatever. And like, it's the problem I have with it is not so much the flavor. It's more like, it's just quick and absent,
but you can taste it there. Good. Cause I don't know. The sound of mint in my mezcal doesn't sound very appetizing to me.
It's like a peppery type. So yeah, it's not, I don't really taste the peppermint too much, whatever, but like, it does feel like it does feel like it's very refreshing in the beginning.
Okay.
It feels refreshing. I don't like the quick absence of it. I'm not a fan of that at all, whatever. Like, cause it's the, why even put it there, you know, usually. Mm-hmm. So like, because it does make you think about it, and it's kind of just like throwing it off a little bit. But then when the further it gets in the back and it like kind of balances out, it almost feels like that first blast of it, it's kind of like overbearing of it. So
Okay,
I'm gonna give this a 3.
Okay, I was figuring like 2.5-3 range. That sounds about right.
This is about $90, I believe. So $99, okay. Somewhere in the $100 range. So not
terrible.
Price. Yeah, it's not very terrible. But
So essentially, considering it's an Añejo, which is kind of rare from the skulls too, and it actually is good. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna give that a 3.
Okay.
That back end is really nice. I actually enjoy that.
That's one of them. Fuck yeah! All right.
So yeah.
So I'm very curious if it's gonna grow on you. Throughout, you know, through time, which I kind of think it might.
Yeah, I have a problem with is that beginning. I don't.
Really the beginning, right?
Like that. I don't like that oily fadeaway part or whatever and stuff. So, because it's not subtle at all. To be honest, it's like right in your face. So, well, people, that was mix and match week here on Mezcal Month.
That was a success. Hello, yeah, that was a good week. That's a good fucking week right there. Yeah,
I poured a little bit more here. I kind of just down a little bit whatever I had left in the glass. It's got this nice fucking chest feel linger there, and I'm kind of enjoying the shot.
Warmth in there.
It is so warm. It is like nice. It's the exact kind of warmth you want to drink and stuff. Yeah, man. At first I was thinking 2.5 when I first sipped it, but I was like, I'm gonna go with the 3 because I love what it's doing in the back end more than I do the front end. The flavor profile kind of throws me off. Whatever honeydew melons and stuff like that, or whatever. But you simply get used to those right away. Like I said, the main problem I have with it, is that front end and you know, the price, I was going to say, it's not bad, I guess. Cause like it is something.
Kind of look at it, like I said, for the Añejo.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think it's fair.
Plus it has a cross on it. So if the demons come for me, I can like,
yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I got holy water now. Perfect. So
yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't buy this too, people. Someone got this for me. So,
even better.
So yeah, I didn't spend $100 on it. So I probably don't have the attachment of like, I spent $100 on this, stuff. So, I think the bottle design is great. I love this like smoky blacked outness on the label and stuff.
Mm-hmm. No. Label presentation is great.
Yeah. Label presentation is great. 40% ABV, 80% proof, 80 proof here. I was shitting on that cork last week or whatever, but the cork works too as well.
I actually like the cork. I was going to point that out. I like the kind of like, it's kind of like a homemade kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
something. Yeah.
I didn't think I could put the cork back on last week. Mm-hmm. So I was just like looking at it going like, what the fuck though? But no, you know what? I think Cody's right. I think the more sip this, it might even shoot up to a 3.5.
I think it's one of those. Yeah. You got to just kind of let it linger and sit on it a little bit. Yeah. I think it's growing. Yeah.
Damn. There's only 1400 bottles of this made.
Are you serious?
Yeah. This bottle number 311.
Well, shit. Even better.
out of lot 251. I don't know what the fuck.
Okay.
That is, but yeah.
Okay. Well, damn. I think you got a winner, man.
Yeah. So dude. I'm enjoying. I enjoyed that a lot. Oh wait, it does say special edition on here. I guess I never really read the lyrics or the text on this bottle.
Okay. Well, that kind of makes sense with the price. Then makes me more sense. It actually gives it more value too.
Yeah. And I didn't notice this neither, but there's actually a cross in the middle here, too, of the bottle. Like, you can kind of see the lines there.
Oh, I do kind of see that. Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of detail on this bottle.
I think it's a winner, man. I don't know. Yeah. The more details you point out, the better it's sounding.
Yeah, the better it does sound here. So, yeah, bottle, dude, that's a winner. I give this a last drop for the creative design on it and stuff like that. Love the smoke burn on it. And I love how the label matches the color on it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I could see myself even if I would have did this first over the DMX thing or whatever, I probably would have poured more and been like, yeah, I could see myself bumping this up to a 3.5 easily. So, I'm actually going to pour a little bit more, to be honest. Sit here.
As you should, brother. That's what I did. Some good shit.
Yeah, so I would say that this year's Mezcal Month has been a winner then, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, way better last year. Already. Yeah. I'm excited how I'm going to wrap this up. I'm excited. Is this one of these weird months where we have five?
Yeah, it is one of those weird months where we have five or whatever. Okay. I might make a mezcal cocktail.
I think cocktail for last week is probably the move.
Yeah, we got two more weeks, too.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, okay. Yeah, last week, cocktails.
I'm going to do a mezcal margarita. I love mezcal margarita, so I might do that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm.
Ooh. Yeah, that more of that cocoa is kicking in on that back end area. I was just like, yeah, I can taste that like heavily now. That sleek oiliness is starting to fade away now too. I noticed it wasn't there on that. Sip.
Oh, okay. See, you just gotta let it open up a little bit.
That was a big ass bird. Shit, come on, that. I think it just picked up a dog, dude. Jesus Christ, shit. You know, no shit. I did hear a story like that. My barber told me that shit.
Dude, I heard a shit about like that too, like vultures and eagles and picking up dogs and
like
shit.
It picked up like a chihuahua or something and dropped that motherfucker from the sky. I was like, shit.
No, birds are fucking vicious, bro.
Dude, that's why in Jurassic Park, them pterodactyls and shit.
I was going to say, they evolved from dinosaurs. So they still got that mentality. We will fuck you up.
I'd rather personally be chased by a T-Rex than fuck with a pterodactyl.
Dude, that shit was horrifying. Yeah. Yeah. Well, even the one that's seen in Jurassic Park 3, when they had that birdcage, the clouds.
And the clouds and shit. It's like, yo, this shit's horrifying, like, dude. Well, they did that shit in Jurassic World, too. Remember when the fucking...
Right, yeah.
They were the first attacks, the pterodactyl. Yeah. They came down and shit. It was just
Remember they fucked that one lady up? They fucked her up. That was bad. I felt bad, dude. I never felt more bad for a death in a Jurassic Park series than her. I was like,
that was early in the movie, too. That,
bro. I was like the first like 45 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
That was when the shit hit the fan, people, whatever. Like, it went in early on that shit. Literally. Like they grabbed her ass, took her up in the sky. One dropped her, so the other one caught her.
Yeah, like playing fetch with her.
Yeah, it was like,
she eaten by that big ass fucking whale dinosaur shit, whatever the fuck it was.
I mean, at least a T Rex just swallow your asshole chewing you shit. This motherfucker like grabs you and
they were fucking with her.
I think that the third one in Jurassic World was the first time I actually feared those motherfuckers. I was just like,
yes, very effective. Like, no, that Jurassic Park 3 sequence, bro, I still think that's one of my favorite sequences throughout the entire franchise,
because you forget how big they are.
And then just the way it was filmed, the atmosphere and shit, that shit was fucking amazing.
Yeah,
like, say what you know about Jurassic Park 3, but that pterodactyl scene, that was a shit.
Oh, you can say a lot about Jurassic Park 3. But that scene was like, that was like goat made right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I love that fucking scene.
Matter of fact,
they
should have just made a whole movie with the pterodactyls, to be honest.
I'm saying, bro. Just give us pterodactyls.
Yeah, they make that T-Rex too much of the focal point. This is like,
I agree.
There's a lot more fucking scarier dinosaurs than that goddamn T-Rex.
Bro.
The T-Rex you scared of because of its size and shit or whatever.
Yeah, it is iconic and all that shit.
But them pterodactyls shit, bro. That shit terrified the fuck out of me, dude.
When it's fucked up. They added teeth to those motherfuckers.
Yes!
They didn't
get them fucking teeth.
Real life, they didn't have teeth. They gave motherfuckers teeth.
Because when they were chewing that chick up in Jurassic World, I was looking at her like, yo. Yo, it made me respect that Pink Ranger more in Power Rangers, man.
Right?
You get that terror, you ride in the sky. Flight is a motherfucker. And if a motherfucker can pick you up and take you into the sky.
And they know what the fuck they're doing, too. Which is awesome, even more fucked up.
Which is fucked up because it's like getting shot by a bullet instead or jumping off a rooftop. You know, the T-Rex is the bullet. The fucking pterodactyl is the goddamn jumping off a rooftop, whatever, trying to kill yourself. So it's like, you know, because they taking you back to their nest.
Yeah, they're taking you back. They're going to take your time, too.
And they want their kids to, like, just munch on you first or whatever and shit. And you so high up, there's no fucking escaping and shit. It's just like,
dude, it's always like the understood. Remember the Lost World at the beginning, when the little Cops Nathan, little fucking Cops Nathan, I think that's what they call it.
Yeah, the Transformer box.
Yeah, that was highly effective.
By the way, speaking of movies, we're gonna talk movies.
Okay,
got to talk about Transformers 4. I watched it a week ago.
I was revisiting that one.
That one is the one.
That's the first one Mark Wahlberg in it.
Yeah, that's the dinosaur one or whatever and shit. Since we're speaking of dinosaurs, wow, I gotta tell you. There is no scene in movie history, Cody, that trumps this scene. When that motherfucker pulls out that Romeo and Juliet card.
Oh, my God. I remember. Yep.
It is not the biggest what the fuck am I watching now?
They dwelled on that shit too.
Yes,
they put the camera like right here. Boom.
I've watched a lot of movies in my time, people. I have never seen no shit like this in a movie. I think that was more horrifying than a Serbian film, any human shit. Like it was
because
like
he took glee in this shit.
Yeah.
Like, saying, like, yes, I can get away with this because of this. Look, America.
And the fact that he carries it on him.
Yes, the entire movie.
He carried that shit on him like a vaccination card. This shit was laminated and every goddamn thing. It was like just pulled up. And then they put the camera on the daughter and she's smiling about it. It was just like, yo. It is the most mind blown. My mind has never been more blown than watching that sequence.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've watched some pretty fucked up films or whatever. People.
That's one of the most fucked up ones. Yeah.
I think this one tops them all, to be honest. Because it came out of fucking nowhere. And like, this is the first time people ever related to being Mark Wahlberg. Because we were him, Cody. We was asking him questions like, wait a minute, how old are you? And he says, oh yeah, I'm 20. I forgot he said 23 or some shit like that, whatever. And then he just looks at her. Hey, you know you're dating a minor, bro. Hey, first of all, that's illegal. You can't be doing it.
Yeah.
And then he's calm as fuck. And that's what's so creepy about it, too. He's like calm as fuck. And he just goes like, statute of limitation, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Like, pulls that card out. And it's just like,
dude, they actually took time in the writing room. They took time in the writing room to put that shit in the script. And then they filmed the shit. And then they put it, the camera, right on the document.
Yeah.
To let you know, like, it's okay because the document says it's okay. I'm like, what the fuck?
Motherfucker had it laminated in his wallet.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, yeah.
Then he had, like, shit, like, underlined, too, and, like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had it highlighted, too. Yeah.
Yes.
What was so weird about it, too, the next scene, this shit was funny as fuck. I was laughing up my ass when they were on the run, and him and the daughter go to the store. Because they got to get supplies, whatever. Supplies for what? I have no fucking idea, to be honest. I don't know what the fuck supplies are. And he brings back a bottle of mouthwash. And then Mark Wahlberg's like, mouthwash? What is this for? He's like, my breath needs to be fresh when I'm making out with your daughter. And that's just like.
Yeah, yeah. That still doesn't make any sense.
I was like, what? I was like, And like, once again, first time you ever relate to being Mark Wahlberg, you're like, I'm going to break his fucking kneecap right now. And I love it, too, because Optimus is listening the whole time. And his comment to that was, it's the funniest shit ever. I just busted up in tears laughing. He just says, teenagers, I remember when Bumblebee went through that phase. I was like, what?
So that brings up a whole nother question as well. So wait, y'all go through age stages as Transformers? Y'all don't... That's a whole other podcast on its own. That mythology is just all over the fucking place.
Said that shit. I got so confused.
Like, y'all have like a schooling system and all that?
Are you telling me Bumblebee was fucking with some underage? Like, what? What's going on here? Is Optimus's Bumblebee dad? Like, what?
I imagine Bumblebee going up to the dad of the daughter's house. Permission to fuck, sir.
Permission granted, old friend. Permission granted.
Oh my god.
I love that they just try to make Optimus so human. It's just so fucking ridiculous.
Dude, between the third, the fourth, and the fifth, there's, and even moments of the second one, there's so much ludicrous shit that goes on in those movies. I can't like put which one is like more crazy than the other.
That's
they
so
all
funny.
Had like, it's
when
just,
the third one came out, I remember people saying, oh, that second one is just so ludicrous. And I was just like,
no, there's some dumb shit in the second one, but that third one, then from then on. It's fucking insane.
That third one took the cake when they started talking about like science.
Because people hate on that second one. Don't even remember, that's a terrible fucking movie. Stupid as fuck. But,
but
the third one, the fourth, fifth one, holy shit.
Yeah, that third one started talking science and astronomy and shit like that. And you just like, wait a minute, hold on now. That don't make no sense. hot and the blue fuck that that planet just orbit our atmosphere. Not even, and then you get like fucking Buzz Aldrin, who was like the real
actor.
Because he it really looked like he was looking at Optimus Prime and shit. The way he looked like, wow, like shit. I think they really put. I think they took him to Universal Studios. He looked at a real life Optimus
Prime. I think so. Yeah,
because the look on his face, that motherfucker sold that shit. He made me.
Oh yeah.
He was like Neil Patrick Harris and Harold and Kumar and shit. The way he was looking at Optimus, like, oh, and then I love Optimus' line to him too. Is like, it's no, it is you who is remarkable to me. I just like, motherfucker, this dude only traveled to the moon. You traveled the fucking galaxy.
I was gonna say, you a fucking sentient robot.
Motherfucker ain't done shit. He remarkable. Motherfucker ain't done shit. Like, I was like, that motherfucker. Yeah. He didn't build the spaceship he was in. The astronaut. Like, he didn't do anything. He just sat in that motherfucker. Like, he didn't do shit. Planted a fucking flag on the moon. It ain't a goddamn thing. And then, and, you know, the thing is, too, when I was watching this fourth one, I was like, damn, how did we not say this was worse than the fifth one? And then you remember, oh, yeah, the fifth one was about that Harriet Tubman shit. And you just
I was about to say, Harriet Tubman, yeah, both be helping out with the Holocaust and shit. Jesus Christ.
Bless that man, Michael Bay, man.
Good Lord, man. I always
found a way to top himself. Always.
Every fucking movie. It just got crazier and crazier and crazier.
Fucking brilliant. Oh, and then Optimus' favorite. I think this is the fourth one, too, is the most he's ever said, I'll kill him. I was just like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in full form bloodthirsty. He is the most bloodthirsty. Because remember that third one, he got his taste of blood. Is when he fucking... Actually, no, it wasn't the first time he tasted blood, but it was like... It was the funniest murder he ever did.
That's the one he got, like... Really ruthless. Yeah. Like he had like little spots in the previous two movies, but that third one, he was like, fuck it.
That third one,
he had enough.
Yeah, because Sentinel betrayed him and shit. So that was the first time he even betrayed by a lover. Yeah. I mean, by a friend, colleague, and shit like that.
You find out her ex lover.
Because that dude was on his knees begging for his life, and Optimus just said, "No, it is you that betrayed yourself." And
he was literally begging for his life.
Optimus, no! Fucking blew his head off, dude. I was just like, yo. And then after he blew his head off, before he blew his head off, remember, he fucking killed Megatron for no fucking reason. It was just like, I don't even know what just happened right now. Like, Megatron helped him because he got called a bitch by that Australian chick, which made no sense to me. I don't know why a robot sentient being would care about that word, but whatever. He comes and helps him, and then he tells Optimus, where would you be without me, Optimus Prime? And then that motherfucker went into battle mode. That mask came on. He said, let's find out. I was like, oh, yo, what the fuck? It's like, then he cuts his fucking head off by taking his axe and ripping his face apart and shit. And he's just like, he didn't even say nothing menacing to him or anything, like, or like tried to fight him or nothing like that. Like,
no.
What the fuck just happened here? Like, and then Optimus looked at his gun and saw Sentinel just crawling for his life. Optimus, I was trying to bring our planet back, our race back. I forgot what he said, something about betraying us or whatever. And then that motherfucker Optimus looked at him like, it is you that betrayed yourself. No, Optimus. And he just blew his fucking brains out. He's like, yo, dude. And then that music kicked, do 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 do. And you just like, yeah, don't fuck with this dude. Just stay out of his way, dude. Just let him go do his thing.
Yeah, I don't know why the Decepticons kept trying at those next two movies. Like, at that point, you know, this dude was nothing to fuck with. Clearly. Yeah,
I don't care if Megatron got
killed Megatron, like, what, three times by that point already?
Yeah, so, and like in brutal ways, too. Not even
very
in, like,
brutal, yeah.
Yeah, just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Not like he just, like, kicked him off a cliff or some shit like that. No, he goes for the head. Up.
Yeah.
He goes for the head a lot. He's not Thor. He aims for that head.
Exactly.
He aims for that head a shit ton. So it is brutal. I mean, I think that's just the craziest shit about him. I mean, I guess the craziest shit him is about talking about that phase Bumblebee went through in that four. I really want to know that phase. Clearly, we reviewed these movies on The Last Drop here while drinking last year, I believe, was it?
I think we did.
Yeah, we did a Transformers.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we did. Okay. I forget. Yeah. We did.
And that's clearly, true. We missed a lot still.
Yeah. Yeah. We might do another another revisit, which I don't mind. I these movies are the key, are the gift that keeps on giving. So I, if you want to do like another,
we'll make that a yearly thing.
I think so. what new crazy shit did we discover in the Michael Bay transforms? You know what we should do? We should be the first two, because we didn't do the first two. Or did we?
We did, but I don't remember. We got through them so quickly. We was just like, okay, we don't care about these two.
All right, because I know they're less crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure there's more nuggets in there we could probably mine from.
The first two, which, by the way, are really bad. They're god awful. Yes. I remember people said that second one was the worst thing they've ever seen.
Nah, those
are the tame ones.
Those are tame as fuck.
Compared to the later ones.
Yeah.
The later ones, like, they start trying to bring logic and shit into them. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, no, don't do that. The first two, which, by the way, the second one is like really takes some leaps and bounds. But that third one, they take stars and galaxies. Mm-hmm. They say, fuck leaps and bounds. We want stars and galaxies. We're going to leap from here to here. You know what I'm saying? That second one is wild and shit. But I think me and you couldn't wait to get past those two because it got funnier the longer it went on.
Oh, God, yeah.
We was like, wait till we get to this third one. Wait till we... So, you know what? That's what we're going to do. So, we got a lot of things coming next year. We got tequila being an official week, along with the beer and whiskey. We doing it all, baby. And you know what we should do it for? July, since that's our 4th of July.
Perfect. America. Perfect. Perfect.
July month is...
Transformers month.
Transformers month, going forward in life.
I love it. I love it.
And every time we just gonna point out that goddamn Romeo and Juliet card, which, by the way, they really need to get rid of that rule. That law it's the creepiest fucking law I think America. I'm sure foreigners looked at that and was just like, what? I'm sorry, what now? They have a law where you can fuck children? Oh, okay. I know in other countries, like the limitation of age is like ranges. It could be mm-hmm. like fucking 16, 17, whatever it may be. But they're not as wild. They don't do like cards and laws and shit like that out there like we did here. And for Michael Bay to put that in a movie, I mean, chef's kiss. I mean, to everything.
He's a madman. Fucking madman. And he's one of the most entertaining human beings on the planet. I got to tell you.
And we
gotta
miss tell him you. Dearly.
We do.
From those do. That franchise. That franchise died when he left.
Yeah, it really, really did.
And I wish they would have made that universe because as much as I don't go to movies at all, whatever, I'd be right there front row for that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I'd be for that. I would stop that. I would be there for. I hope right now Michael Bay is enjoying some coke with some hot models that are probably like 20 years younger than him, sitting on the beach of Miami,
wearing his American flag robe.
And talking to Bumblebee. Bumblebee greets you at the door, Cody. You didn't know that?
Yeah, yep.
So, and some reason, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are there, too.
Yep, exactly.
He owns the two Negroes. So, yeah. Especially Will right now, because Will's on his Bitch Made tour right now.
I don't know what's going on with that motherfucker. He's that shit.
That family weird, nigga. That's why.
they weird as fuck.
I've been saying this for decades now, dude. That family is fucked up, whatever.
They like the real life Adams family. That's what the fuck they are.
Jada got a book out called Worthy. I just like, they doing a tour about it right now. And Will made a comment to her. I sent it to Art of Lunatic. We were talking about it. And Will wrote a letter to his wife. Why do you got to write a whatever. His letter to his wife said, oh man, I wish I would have known this about you before reading this book. I would have hugged you more had I known. I just looked at that and was just like, how long the fuck y'all been dating now?
They've been together since the 90s, bro. Like 30 thank years.
You. Like
they've been together.
I hate everything about their relationship. I kind of hate them people as people. I they are everything that is wrong with American dating. They're just like two of the most toxic motherfuckers you could ever fucking see dating, honestly. Like they
and man, yeah, their problem is I think it's mostly egos for them, man.
Yes.
I think that's
we their talked about that problem. Though, Cody, me and you. We talked about it, remember on back on the movie show when I showed you that clip of them on the Oprah show And they both were talking this weird shit about like how they're trying to be ideas and transcend shit and stuff. Like, and Oprah was just sitting there going,
she looked like a Ultron and Avengers, that second Avengers movie. He's just like, okay.
And they kept putting the cameras on like Jada and Jade and Willow and shit, the kids, and they were just looking docile and drugged up and shit. And these two was just going on, like you said, with ego, just like, we're trying to be these ideas that we could transcend what we do and stuff. And it was just like,
what the fuck? And you know, goddamn Oprah under that was like, what the fuck are these motherfuckers talking?
You know what Oprah was saying? She was like, look, this is my last year. I'm about to make some $1 billion. Like, I'm just nodding the head and agreeing. Because she did this too later. She went,
she did this. Yeah, we learned that emoji. emoji. Okay. Yeah, you know.
She was like, that Scientology got to y'all. Okay, I see this. Yeah, now. Like, okay, like, yeah. It's crazy that Tom Cruise get brought up a lot for jumping on that couch, but I'll take Tom Cruise jumping on that couch more than this crazy shit that ain't.
I was about to say, I'll take Tom Cruise crazy. Will Smith, Jada crazy, that's a whole other level. Those motherfuckers are weird.
If you are in a relationship, and I look, who am I to give relationship advice? But if you're in a relationship like these two, whatever, that's called toxic. Okay, you need to get the fuck out of it, or whatever. Like, because
right, or even at that point, so all the shit they went through, and all the hula hoops and obstacles, like, why the fuck are y'all still together?
She even says She says in that clip, by the way, after reading the letter, this is why I can't divorce that man. I was like, okay,
dude. Honestly, at this point, it almost seems like a mental illness. I'm not gonna even bullshit you. It's coming to a point where it seems like the motherfuckers are mentally ill and need help.
I think they both need help.
But no bullshit.
Did you ever see the letter her their daughter was writing to Tupac?
Yeah, the kids are fucked up too.
What?
Which makes sense. Look at the fucking parents. But yeah.
She was writing letters to Tupac. People are talking about, oh, I wish you were still here with us and my mommy would be happy with you. It's like, what? How are people still defending this woman? I just got to put it out there. Like, the relationship is all fucked up. If my daughter started writing letters to, they weren't even dating either, I don't think, Tupac or her or whatever, to some dude that's died and talking about she would be much happier if you were still alive. I would find his grave and re-kill him. I'd be like, what?
I would do find some Thanos shit.
Yeah, like I would have to re-kill his fucking ass. I might start speaking like Thanos from Silver Surfer cartoon. Oh, Lady Death. Oh, my love. I was like, what? I don't think that relationship would work out for me. I'd be like, yo, why is my baby girl writing letters to your dead friend? Talking about you'd be happier. Like, I'm with Cody in this. I think this is the one time that nobody's calling out, but mental illness is a real thing here. And I think them two. Actually, I think the whole family, both them kids too, can to go to.
That's what I'm saying. The whole family is just fucked. Yeah. The only one that's cool is the one that's the son that's not from Jay.
Yeah, the one that's not from
Jay. He's all right.
The one that has nothing to do
with it. Yeah, he's still got a good hand on his shoulders. Like, he's cool. The rest of the motherfuckers, though.
The rest of the motherfuckers need help.
Yeah.
The book is called Worthy. Girl, you cheated on your husband with some underage young dude. Like, oh, what? What?
Jesus Christ.
And we applauding her for that? All right, whatever. Okay. I can go on all day about that shit, but like, Jesus Christ, Worthy. Yes. Worthy of some psychiatric.
Talk about being full of yourself. Jesus Christ. I was going to say, ego and mental illness, man. I think that's the problem here.
Yeah. They've been stars for so long, Cody. I mean, they stood the test of time. So yeah, you right on that ego thing. They've never had any. I mean, Chris Rock said it best. Whatever, whoever interviewed the your woman for the cheating on you, talking about like, hey, I sucked this dick. How do you feel about that? Could you imagine, Cody, if you was dating somebody famous and she asked you that shit in the interview? I think you ever seen that Elmo meme where he's staring off into the camera and this zooms in and then that
Chris
Benoit music kicks in, whatever, and his shit, he just Hey, people don't understand that reference, why that Chris Benoit music. It's dark as fuck. Whatever.
It's dark as fuck. It's very dark. Yeah.
But the meme is kind of funny as shit. Whatever. Because like when it Elmo just staring at and it kicks in, it's like, yeah, that's probably how I'd feel if someone asked me that shit like on national TV. Like, hey, I cheated on you, and sucked this man's dick. How you feel about it? It'd be like. You couldn't tell me this in private? Like, you couldn't. You had to go in front of the camera. Yeah, you're right, because the fact that she had to do that on camera with him or whatever shit, the fact that they had to do that on camera, that also goes to that ego or whatever. Like,
yeah. Why had a whole fucking interview set up saying, I fucked another man.
Which, by the way, he all fucked
lighting
up
and makeup and all that shit.
Just yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Wow, that is the most egotistical shit I've ever seen in my life.
That man crying his ass off too, like a little bitch. She did that shit on purpose, Cody. Like, she made that man get on TV to make him cry like a little bitch like that. It was just like, why would you do that to somebody?
I remember the same thing with that apology to Chris Rock. Remember Wilson had all the lighting and shit and the setup and filmed like 4K or 8K, whatever the fuck. They probably feel an IMAX too.
Damn, I think you hit the hell on the car. That's that celebrity ego. That mindset. Like
Jesus.
That family's been in the industry for a long fucking time.
Very long time.
Longer than a lot of other people we know today, whatever. So that ego, I think you're right about that. That corruption got to them quick, because Will and Jada were really young when they got into that. Super young. Like they were in their early 20s and shit. And Jada, if I'm not mistaken, was in there longer than Will.
You know, the industry was more fucked up back then than it is now. I mean, it's still fucked up, but back then, it was just for Me Too and all that shit, and social justice and all that shit, and social media. So you already know.
Man, they're worthy. I'm going to write a book, too, then, called Non-Drinking. that's my... I don't drink, Cody. I indulge. Oh.
Yes.
I indulge here and there. Yeah. All right, folks. So we almost wrapping this month up. Damn, we almost in November.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and you remember November, people, is the last call.
I remember last November.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, your bad.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, she didn't pick up till December. December was cool. October, November last year, though. You remember November, that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Beer we won't speak of anymore.
We had something planned last November, and I remember saying, fuck that. I said, we got to go back to beer and whiskey, because I was like, I am. That month was so bad. And I went with the easiest picker. I went Colonel Taylor lineup, but Cody's got worse. Like, it was.
Ooh,
like,
buddy, yeah. Yeah, we ain't going to speak about that.
So this one, I'm calling it the last call. Because that best and worst of list got to come out.
So that's true.
Get whatever you can in for that month of November, because the nitty gritty coming down now, Cody.
It's gritty, all right. Yeah. At least it was last year. Let's see about this year.
Last year, I think I had a top 10 worth of. I don't think this year I can put the top 10 together, but I might be able to do a 3 or 5. So, so whatever sticks. I would say there's been much better pours this year than last year. So
I think it's gonna hold out. I think that we call it January. That might be make up most of our worst stuff.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Month of January.
Yeah,
that was a terrible fucking month.
Yeah, we don't need to go back to doing that either ever.
No, hell no, never.
Hey, but look here, we gave it a shot, people.
We did it.
I don't know who the
never
fuck
again, but we fucking
buying,
did it.
I don't know who the fuck still buying seltzers at fucking bar, but whatever. Shit. Yeah. Sorry, folks. We're going to get out of here now. We're done.
You
got a little extra bonus talk there about Transformers and
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett crazy asses.
Yeah, they relationship status or whatever. And if you think that's healthy, then you toxic as fuck too.
But you also need help.
That's like a new dating question, Cody, when you go out now. Hey, so what do you think of their relationship or whatever? So, I think it's nice. It's beautiful. We'd be like, oh, okay.
Click.
You're about to interview me about sucking some dick. Yeah. I'll be goddamn. Put you on a fucking Twitch stream talking about, I sucked a dick, whatever. How you feel about that, Cody?
Twitch stream.
I ain't gonna lie, I would watch the fuck out of that if Cody was on some stream. Like, I'd be like, oh! I already know the look on his face or whatever. I'd be like, Cody, you might want to murder her in the stream. it was more than 1,000 people watching this. So. Your face about to become a meme now. But.
Yeah, I had that Doc Rivers.
You know your brother would never let that down.
Wait for that day.
Yes. Yeah, good.
Look when that comes together.
We got some fucked up siblings, people. They would fucking, they'd never let that shit die. They will never let that shit die. They will fucking throw that in our face like crazy. So,
oh man,
don't end up on stream with your relationships of what they doing. So,
oh my god.
With that said, folks, hope you enjoyed this little bonus chat of ours.
Oh man, that was fun episode.
Yeah. I love fun. Yeah. Oh man. Oh boy. So, with that said, I am your Godfather Whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the Godfather of Craft Beer, Cody.
And like we always say, livers will never be the same.
And glasses will never be dry. And Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith will never be sane.
No.
Ever again.